the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the only God. Amen. Our lecture today concerning the Eucharist and Evangelism. Eucharist, Evangelism, which means missionary or preaching. Eucharist and Evangelism. We as Copts, Orthodox Coptic Church, we believe much in Eucharist. And this is the cornerstone of our relation to God. We all have communion today, and usually we take communion weekly. So this is a cornerstone in our relation to our God. So I will start with the famous Coptic song, Amin, 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 Bemautika Rabbi Nubashir. Your death, our Lord, we proclaim. So the first idea I want to give you, that we are preaching each Sunday and every day while praying the Mass, that we should proclaim the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We say that we Nubashir. Actually, we do not do this, but we are saying so each Mass. Our Lord, we proclaim your holy resurrection and ascension, we confess. So we are proclaiming the three major events in our Lord's life, that he died for us, and he had been raised for us, and he ascended to heaven to complete the kingdom of heaven for us. We praise you, we bless you, we thank you, our Lord, and we entreat you, our Lord. So when we are saying Amin, 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 this means that our preaching is very much related to our faith. As we believe in God's death for us, so we proclaim his death. We believe that he had been resurrected, so we are preaching resurrection. We believe that our Lord Jesus Christ went to heaven as the first man and al-Bikr. Bikr yani sabana. We are going to follow him. So we are looking upward to heaven because we are aiming at going to kingdom of heaven following our Lord. So this is the kind of faith. We believe in this, so we are proclaiming this. If you believe, you should preach. And you are saying so, كل مرة تصلي القداس. And this is usually a very weak point in our church nowadays. That we are saying so, but we are not doing so. Most of us, we are not caring much of doing this mission. So, the Eucharist is a motive to evangelize. The first idea, that you, while taking the communion regularly, while attending the Mass regularly, while praying the liturgy, you are motivated to evangelize. If you pray from your heart, you will feel it. That you cannot stop saying the word of God to everybody. you know, we are saying like an oath in front of the cross. The altar, al-mazbah, the priest standing before the altar, and the deacons around, and the whole community around, we are giving like a commandment, like a commitment, like an oath, that we are saying, we are going to preach your word and to proclaim your death. So it's like an oath given to us for salvation and remission of sins. That's what the priest says in each liturgy. يُعطَى فَكْرِنَا لِمَغْفِرَةِ الْخَطَايَا وَحَيَا أَبَدِيَا. So as we believe that this body of Christ and this blood of Christ is for salvation and for remission of sins, and eternal life for those who will partake of it. This comes like a very good motive. I wish everybody comes and eat, comes and drink from the same cup. You understand? While saying that this for salvation and remission of sins and for the eternal life, how about those people living outside? They will not enjoy the eternal life because they are not partakers of our body and blood. So we wish, while saying so, we wish for everybody to come and share us this gift. You understand? يُعطَى لِمَغْفِرَةِ الْخَطَايَا وَحَيَا أَبَدِيَا. Also it's written, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed. I'm reminding you of the words in the liturgy. My blood of the covenant, which will be shed for you and for me. دمي الذي للعهد الجديد الذي يسفك عنكم وعن كثيرين. Why the church put this word? Those who are many, they are not here now. They are not praying the Mass with us. But why we are remembering them in this moment? Just for preaching. This blood will be shed for you and for many. So you are responsible from now on that you will look for those many living outside the church, and you should help them to come and partake of this gift, to be given for the remission of sins. So the blood is shed not only for you, but for others, for many, for the people around. And you, the only one who knows the precious matter of this blood. So please go and bring others. Also, the Eucharist brings up evangelists. Actually, in our belief as Coptic Orthodox Church, usually we used to say that missionary in the Coptic Church is a bit different from missionary in any other church, because the cornerstone of our relation is the Eucharist. And by the Eucharist, we are full of power to go and preach. Nobody can go and start his mission without the power of the body and blood. The Eucharist brings up evangelism. We are praying in the liturgy for the widow, the orphan, the stranger, and the visitor. This is kind of missionary, you know. We pray for people we do not know, actually. We may not know some widows or orphans or strangers, but we pray for them. And whatever their culture or their religion, we still pray for them. So this is kind of preaching or evangelism inside the liturgy. عارفينها طبعا, الأرملة واليتيم والغريب والضيف. And you know, we are saying so before naming our names. بنقول الأرملة واليتيم والغريب والضيف ومن أجلنا نحن أيضا. You understand what I mean? So we put them first. We pray for them first because they do not know Christ yet. But we know Him. So we are looking forward to preach for them. Also, we pray in the Gregorius, the unbeliever, get them back to your way. غير المؤمنين ردهم. We say so. Huh? The unbeliever, get them back to your way. So we are praying for the unbelievers in the liturgy. The Eucharist brings up evangelists. If you pray the Mass deeply from your heart, you will feel the power that you like to preach to everybody. Another idea is, you know, Abba Musa, we're always saying a good sentence, that the liturgy or the Eucharist take the repentant, the one who was living in sin and coming to the church to repent, and transform him into a servant after some time. And the Eucharist, the liturgy and Eucharist, take the servants and push him to be an evangelist like you. And the evangelist, take him to be a saint. And from the saint, he might be a martyr. الإفخارستية بتجيب التائب تعمله خادم, والخادم تعمله مبشر, والمبشر تعمله قديس, والقديس ممكن تعمله شهيد. This is the power of the liturgy. So we are living the Mass. That's why we cannot preach if we do not have a very strong relation with the altar. Another idea is the Eucharist is the power of the evangelist. It's not only the motive, and not only the Eucharist will bring up the evangelist, but also the Eucharist is the power of the evangelist. This was clear in Isaiah chapter 6. I'll read it for you. Then one of the seraphim flew to me. Isaiah was living in a very bad circumstances, the people around him were left the altar and they are not anymore praying to God, they pray to the idols. So Isaiah was very much depressed and stressed. So he went to the altar and he was praying, and he saw our Lord Jesus Christ sitting on his throne and the angels around him praying Agios. So he shouted at that time saying, I'm dead. Woe to me, wayli, la'anni halakt. I'm a corrupted man and I'm living in a corrupted world. So the seraphim, one of the seraphim flew to me having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongues from the altar. أخذها بملقط من على المسبح. This is the word of Isaiah. Gamra. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin burned. Also, I hear the voice of the Lord saying, at the same moment, understand this, at the same moment while he was sanctified by the hot life coal, at the same moment he heard the sound of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And this is, you know, the start of evangelism. While taking the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, there is always a sound from heaven saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Please send me. So this is the power of any evangelist, at least in our Coptic church. While taking the power of the body and blood of Christ, you can preach, even if you do not know much. If you are not very good in evangelist, you will say something. You have the power now. And it started, you know, by the words, your iniquity is taken away. خطيتك اتشالت معناها كده. So go, because he was saying, oh to me, أنا مقدرش, أنا مستهلش. While seeing the angels around, he could see better his iniquity. But the Lord said, your iniquity is taken away and your sin too. Also in Jeremiah chapter 1, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. The same idea for Isaiah and Jeremiah. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. But it was not the words, you understand? It was what? His hand, the touch. So this is the body of Christ. He touched his mouth by his hand. And by doing so, he said that I put my words. So it's very much related. The body of Christ you eat, and the words of Christ you will say. So he said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations. Imagine, and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down. How much authority? I set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to pull the bad things and to root down the word of God. To destroy the bad things, and to throw down, to build and to plant. So this is the mission. And very much related to the touch of our Lord. And this physical touch is the body of Christ and blood of Christ. So we have to be touched regularly with this power. Otherwise you cannot say any good word. You cannot be set over the nations and the kingdoms. It's a great power you will take from the Eucharist. Also, the Eucharist is the target of the Orthodox evangelist. What do I mean by this? You know, in the Western preaching courses, or evangelism outside the Orthodox churches, they just preach the word of God. the name of Jesus Christ. And for them, it's very much sufficient that the man says, I believe in Christ as God. And that's it. Actually, we do not do so. We aiming at more forward step, that we wait for this guy to repent and to come to the communion after having baptism. So the start is common. The start we share with other churches, that he should believe in Christ as God, as Savior. But afterwards, he should repent and be baptized, and then the main target, the last one, is to come to our altar to share in our body by sharing in the body of Christ and blood. You understand? So, the حلم كل مبشر. This is the dream of any Coptic evangelist, that all the people around will share him the communion. We do not accept only just being Christian as believing in Christ. This is the first step, not the last one. But the last for us is he started to share in our altar. He become a real member in our body by sharing the body and blood of Christ. So in John chapter 10, our Lord was saying, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And you know, he also said, he said to them, you give them something to eat. So the kind of life given by our Lord Jesus Christ is himself, and he, through his body and Christ. God is life, and he gives this life by the sacrament of communion, Eucharistia. So we believe that there is no real life away from the Eucharist. So that's why we are pushing everybody not only to believe, but also to repent and to enjoy the sacraments of our church, to be a real member in our body, and to go through the real door to heaven, which is our Lord himself. He said to them, you give them something to eat. And this is the order of the church. You know, our church mission is to give something to the people to eat. Not the man of the Old Testament, not the food, the usual one, but the real one coming from heaven, body and blood of Christ. Also, the Eucharist is the target of the Orthodox evangelists in John 17, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me. You know, this was the longest prayer ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ was praying few hours before the cross. He was praying a long prayer in John 17. He was saying so. They all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. And we cannot, as Orthodox, accept this idea away from Eucharist. You understand? This kind of unity, union between the members of the church is around the altar, is through the body and blood of Christ. We do not accept the idea theoretically. No, this is a practical one, and this is the hope of our Lord, the dream of our Lord, that we may be all one through him, through his body and Christ and blood. May be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So this is the goal of our Lord. Also in Corinthians chapter 10, for we, St. Paul was saying some words about the Eucharist. For we, as members of the church, though many, although we are many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. You understand? So we are one only by partaking of the body of Christ. So I cannot consider the guy I'm preaching to is one with me before he shares the altar, before he become Christian and start taking the communion regularly. So this is, you know, This is very serious in our belief. Also, the evangelist explained the Eucharist. So we had seen that the Eucharist is the motive, is the cornerstone, is the power of the evangelist, is the target of an evangelist. Also, the evangelist explained the Eucharist, which means that you cannot consider anyone you are preaching to as Christian if you did not explain or discuss with him what is the Mass about, what is our liturgy, what are we doing before baptism. I remember I had some few experiences with some people. We did not baptize them unless they attend the Mass many times with the Khulagi and they follow the words and they ask many questions and they knew a lot about our liturgy without communion and without baptism yet, but they should understand how gracious and precious the gift of communion after. So after taking the baptism, they were very anxious, very excited to get the communion. But we do not baptize them and then start teaching them what is the communion and what is the liturgy. No. This is part of their course before getting baptism. So, you know, we also simply, we can put it this way. We are eating the bread of this life and drinking this kind of water, but we are eating and drinking and dying. This is the usual course of everybody on earth. So we need another kind of food, another kind of water that we can drink and eat and do not die. So we have it in our church. We have this kind of heavenly food and heavenly drink that when you drink and eat of this, you will not die. This is our promise to everybody. If you eat and drink this body and blood of Christ, you will not die. That's it. This is our belief. So this is our great gift to everybody who will accept faith. And the eternal life is very much related to this power of Eucharistia. So with the baptism, a new birth that needs a new food. Understand? Being baptized, now you are a new creature, a new human being, a new living creature. So you need some unique food to eat, some very special drink to drink, so you can live forever. And this is not available anywhere on earth, but in the church. Also, it's written in John 6, you know, chapter 6 in the Gospel of St. John, is the main chapter of Eucharist and the whole book in the New Testament. And our Lord Jesus Christ spent a lot of time discussing this idea with the Jews, and they were repelling the idea. They were refusing the doctrine of how come you give us your body? How come? And you are just a man, they were saying so. And he insisted, no, if you do not take my body and drink my blood, you will die. And nobody will go to the kingdom of heaven without eating my body and drinking my blood. Thousands of them went away. And they refused the word. And finally, our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples saying, do you like you also to go? St. Peter said, how come we go after we hear these heavenly words? Now we know exactly how to catch the kingdom of heaven. إلى أين نذهب وكلام الحياة الأبدية عندك؟ بعد ما سمع الكلمتين دول وخدهم ببساطة, he was very clear in this. بعد الكلمتين دول لا يمكن نسيبك خلاص, احنا عرفنا السك. Understand? So it's written in John 6, that the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me, imagine the word, who feeds on me, will live because of me. من يأكلني يحيا بي. So this is our precious gift to anybody who will come to believe. Faith, repentance, and baptism are the essentials of getting a communion. This is very important statement. In order for anybody to enjoy the communion, he should be baptized first after believing in Christ as God and Savior, after repenting and changing his life. And through faith and repentance, after baptism, he will get the communion. And baptism is once, but faith and repentance all through life. So each day we go into the Mass to enjoy the communion, we should review our faith and our repentance. Lastly, I would say the liturgy is full of everything we need to say to anybody. Actually, the Coptic liturgy is very rich with the history. In the liturgy, we had history. History of the mankind. History from Adam to the last day of the human beings. This is all we pray with in the liturgy. Also, we had the idea of church order. So, while practicing the liturgy, they will know what's the order. You know, you were all kids and you were going to the church and you were seeing the icons and you were smelling the essence of the bukhur and you were seeing the priest wearing the white garment and you are enjoying the Coptic songs and you believe this way. So the liturgy is our school of preaching. You understand the meaning? We push everybody to attend the liturgy even before baptism. You know, the church order before, where those who did not baptize yet, they attend the half mass, the first half of the mass. That's the part of the al-bukhur and the readings from the Bible and up to the creed. And then they cannot share on the table, on the communion. So they get outside, because this is very special to those who baptize outside the church, with, beside the door of the church, because it's the real door of the church. So the liturgy is full of melodies and hymns, and these songs are full of doctrines. You know, by saying بِشَفَاعَةْ وَلِدَةِ الْإِلَهِ, just the three words of this. Now we believe in one God and Mother of God, so we believe in incarnation and we believe in intercession, بِشَفَاعَةْ. Imagine three words with three strong doctrines. We believe in our Lord Jesus Christ as God, and He had a mother because He was incarnated as man. So there is somebody called Theotokos, Walidat al-Ilah, and we believe also in her intercession, the Shafa'at. So the songs we sing is full of doctrine. So by just teaching the songs, they believe properly. They believe in a straight way, orthodox way, because they are saying so. They are saying, Ameen, Ameen, Bimautika, Ya Rabbi Nubashir. Their belief is correct. They are saying, Ya Rabbi Rahamna. So they ask for long for the mercy of God. This is our belief, that we do not ask for the mercy of God once. No, we will keep asking for His mercy for the whole life. So it's full of dogmas, of doctrines. The Christians hold the Eucharist, as Augustinus said so. The Christians hold the Eucharist, and the Eucharist raided the Christians. الحيين يقيمون الإفخارستية والإفخارستية تقيم المسيحي. فهمين؟ So it's very intimate to our life.